I don't normally talk about reproductive rights per se here on the show, but this next story is a big one. Nearly 50 years after Roe v. Wade, the battle over abortion rights is once again before the U.S. Supreme Court with a 6-3 split in favor of conservatives. And thus, I could not talk about this story. So just yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard nearly 2 hours of arguments on a Mississippi law that could impact Roe v. Wade. This is said to be the biggest challenge to Roe versus Wade in decades, and it stems from Mississippi's rule that bans abortions after 15 weeks. Fox's Jared Halpern has more regarding this nearly 2 hours of arguments.
Mississippi's 15-week abortion ban aims to overturn precedent first set in 1973's Roe v. Wade decision.
And why would 15 weeks be an inappropriate line? So viability, it seems to me, doesn't have anything to do with choice.
Chief Justice John Roberts questioned the viability standard that has guaranteed abortion up until about 24 weeks of pregnancy, suggesting a new standard. But Justice Sonia Sotomayor, a member of the court's liberal wing, warned about changing precedent for no reason other than the makeup of the court's membership.
If people actually believe that it's all political, how will we survive? How will the court survive?
A ruling from the court may not come until late June. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Thanks, Jared. Well, we'll land Kathy Umbarger with Right to Life Northeast Indiana. She's actually in D.C. right now and was on the steps of the Supreme Court for this hearing yesterday. And with that, she's joining us live right now. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Kayla. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. For starters, can you just set the stage for us, Kathy? Why did you travel to D.C.?
Well, I've been in pro-life advocacy since the mid-1980s, and this is such a significant moment in that ongoing fight for life that I couldn't not be here. It was an amazing day. Optimism is palpable on the pro-life side, and it was a pleasure and a blessing and honor to be here.
While you were there, Kathy, on the steps of the Supreme Court, who did you talk to? Who were you seeing? Just kind of set that scene for us as well.
Well, the rally with the official speakers started at 9 a.m. As you can imagine, with that number of people being on the steps of the Supreme Court and actually the sidewalk and street in front of it, and both sides attempting to outshout the other side, it was difficult sometimes to hear what the official speakers were saying. But I had an opportunity to talk to many pro-life leaders that it was an amazing time. That included Father Frank Pavone, Donna Harrison, who is the with the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, Christina Francis, who's also with APLOG and is from Fort Wayne. The list goes on. There were just a number of people. It's difficult for me to explain to you what it was like to have all the pro-life leaders from the national level and people just like me and people who've been in this fight for decades. And then, Kayla, the amazing thing was the number of young people who were there to give a voice to the unborn. The younger generation, they weren't even born when the original Roe decision was decided. It's amazing to see that number of young people coming into the fight, and they have energy and enthusiasm. And quite frankly, I think they are at a point where they don't know what they can't do yet. So they're very enthusiastic and putting hands and feet to the fight.
You know, you're so right, Kathy, when you say it's hard to find the words sometimes to describe a scene like that. And I get what you're saying, because sometimes when you're standing there surrounded by thousands and thousands of so many like-minded people, that can be a moving experience in itself, to just be reminded that there are other people out there fighting the fight that you are fighting. So I get that. I get what you say by not being able really to put it into words, but I don't I don't know if you heard the report that we played there, Kathy, but Justice Sonia Sotomayor, she made this comment about this argument being purely political. Because you are a staunch pro-life advocate, I mean, I think everyone in and around Allen County knows your name, Kathy. What do you say to that comment that this is political?
Well, there certainly is a political element to it, but there's so much more, Kayla, to this whole argument. And the bottom line question is, what are the unborn?
Mm-hmm.
If they're human, then there's no good reason for an abortion. If they're not human, that's another story. But this can be proven by science and philosophy and a variety of other ways that are not strictly political. Now, the reason that I believe that it's become political is because of the way the decision was handled in the first place. This should have been a state's issue all along. But in 1973, when the justices handed down this decision, it was like, take this and this is what it's going to be and you're going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the ensuing years, we found out that there's a growing number of people across this country that are not going to just stand down and let these innocent little children and their mothers or victims as well be the subject of a Supreme Court decision that is nearly 50 years old. And here's another thing that's so important. I don't want to get into the weeds and discuss viability and all of that, which is really what was argued. But in 1973, we didn't have ultrasound and all the technology and the ability to save preborn or preemies earlier and earlier in the pregnancy. So The situation is entirely different than it was in 1973 because, having had a child recently, Kayla, you know what those ultrasounds look like.
I do.
You know that's a baby. And you just have to deny what's in front of your face to be able to support the fact that an unborn child is not a human. The other thing that I just want to mention about being on the steps of the Supreme Court yesterday, the other side had a very small crowd. They had hundreds, but still. I got the sense from the other side that they are seeing that the handwriting's on the wall. And the atmosphere on one side of the steps and the other side of the steps was very, very different. There was a jubilant, excited atmosphere on the pro-life side, and the other side, it was just gloom and doom and shrill shouting. And one appalling thing, Kayla, is that four women have been reported to have taken the abortion pill on the steps of the Supreme Court.
I heard that, Kathy. Yes. Did that really happen?
All news accounts that I'm seeing substantiate the fact that they did. Now, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know if they were even pregnant. But I think this is just appalling to think about how far we've come from 50 years ago when the abortion pill had not even been invented yet, to now. And part of the argument has shifted from safe, rare, and legal to abortion is women's health care.
Hey, Kathy, I'm going to have to cut you off right there simply just because we are way out of time. I feel like you and I could talk about this at great length. So let me just say.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Well, Kathy, from me to you, I appreciate you still joining us this morning. I know you're still in D.C. You've got some travel ahead of you. So thanks for making the time and thanks for joining us live on the show.
You're welcome. God bless.
Podcasts by Federated Media.